Amen. Thank you very much. That's a blessing. Take your Bibles, go to Matthew chapter 9 this morning. Matthew chapter 9. I want to thank you, Dr. Beal, for the privilege to be here and to preach here. It's a privilege. Let me just give another commercial for starting churches in Nebraska. You have a lot of people come through, but I'm from Nebraska, so there's a lot of need in the Midwest. Some people call it the needy North. Some people call it the frozen North. You can call it whatever you want to call it, but the winters are a lot better than they are in Minnesota, where I grew up, so that's something to keep in mind, you know. So, but anyway, there's needs all over. I understand that, but since I'm from Nebraska, we'll give you that today. Let me start with a story I heard about a young pastor. You know how you are when you're a young pastor just getting started, and funeral director called him and said that there was a man who passed away that didn't have any family and needed somebody to do the graveside service. Wouldn't be hardly anybody there, but still this man deserved a rightful burial. The young pastor took it very seriously. He studied for hours and hours and came up with a message. And then on that day when he was driving to the cemetery, he made some mistakes, got lost a little bit. And anyway, he got to the cemetery, everybody was gone except for just two workers there covering up the grave. So the young pastor thought, well, even though I've messed up, I still got a job to do, you know. So he got out of the car and walked over to the graveside, kind of cleared his throat, got their attention, these two workers, and read his scripture and preached for a half hour. Closed in prayer, and the young pastor felt like even though he kind of messed up, he still had done a good job. And he's walking back to the car, and he's walking back to the car. The one worker said, I've never in my life heard anything like that. That was unbelievable. And the other guy, just as the young pastor got in the car, the other worker said, you know what? I know exactly what you mean. And he says, I've been digging these things for septic tanks for 25 years. So anyway, when you're a young pastor, guys, don't make that mistake out there, you know. Matthew chapter 9 in the Bible today. Matthew chapter 9. And we want to go to verse 35. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. There's four lessons in this text from the life of Jesus. I'm sure you can spot them as I read the text. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this chapel service. Thank you, Lord, for the testimonies. What a blessing they were. And thank you, Lord, for this college. How we pray, Lord, you keep your hand upon this place. And we pray for these young people, Lord. Lord, you have a place for them to go, a place to serve, a place where they can make a difference. And so, Lord, we pray that you'd make that clear to them and lead and guide them. Lord, we thank you for the word of God. And this morning, as we look into the scriptures, Lord, teach us for our own life, and teach us for our own ministry, and we'll thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. A lot of talk today about a philosophy of ministry, how people do certain things. And I'm sure you understand that different movements and different groups have different ideas about these things. And what I like about the passage before us is it explains the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's, of course, our standard, isn't it? That's our example. Even in the midst of independent fundamental circles, good groups, there's a lot of difference of ideas. But what we want to look at this morning is exactly what Jesus tells us and how he sets it before us. There's going to be a lot of what we call experts, you know. I mean, some people just get the description of being an expert today. And some people get an expert in the field of church work, and they've never really done any church work. So every once in a while, it's good for us to go back to the Word of God, to go back exactly to what he has for us. As you go out to serve the Lord, to start a church, to go to the mission field, wherever God has for you, there's going to be all kinds of people with all kinds of ideas telling you how to do it, and this is what to do. Let's never forget the testimony, the ministry, the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we see it here in Matthew chapter 9. excellent training here. And as you go out, you understand there's going to be all kinds of influences on you. Some are going to be good influences. Some are not going to be so good. You're going to be impacted by people you try to preach to and try to reach. But let's never forget the life and the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's four specific lessons in our text, and I want to point them out to you as we go through the text, but let me just point it out to start. Notice in verse 35, it says, Jesus went. Then in verse 36, it says, he saw. Then still in verse 36, it says, he was moved with compassion. And then in verse 37, it says, saith he. I find in those lessons are four points for our message this morning. First of all, about the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you notice in verse 35, it says, Jesus went. And the lesson is that Jesus was aggressive. Jesus went where the people were. Jesus went on a face-to-face ministry. Notice where he went in verse 35. The verse says he went to the cities, the villages, and the synagogues. Notice what he did there in verse 35. He was teaching, he was preaching, and he was healing. And he noticed why he went. Because he was helping people. Incidentally, notice what it says in the last part of verse 35. Healing every sickness and every disease among the people. The lesson we want to learn is that Jesus went where people were at and he helped them and he met their needs. And that's what the Word of God has for us today. The Word of God can meet people's needs. And we should never forget, this is a crazy day and age we live in. We've got all kinds of phobias, all kinds of diseases, all kinds of, there's no end to the new problems that we have. But the new problems all have an old solution. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we're not talking about a healing ministry. You understand that. We don't need to belabor that point. But I am saying that Jesus and the Word of God is the answer to people's problems. And we must take it and we must not be afraid of difficult situations. You'll run into some strange situations out there. You'll run into some unbelievable circumstances. Sin has an incredible way of messing up people's lives. But Jesus went, and when he went to meet people's needs. You know something? I believe in a ministry that takes the gospel to people. And I understand just by saying the word aggressive that has been taken out of context by some people. I hope you understand where I'm coming from. I'm not talking about just racking up numbers. I'm not talking about being full of yourself and anything like that. But I am saying I'm not ashamed to take the gospel to everybody that we have an opportunity to try to reach. And you know something? I'm here this morning because somebody cared about my grandfather. My grandfather was 57 years of age and a Lutheran in Minnesota. And a young preacher boy out of Northwestern College. That's not Northwestern University in the Big Ten. That's Northwestern College, which used to be a preacher sending station many years ago under W.B. Riley. But this young preacher boy came out to southern Minnesota. He pastored two churches. This is in the 1930s. My dad tells me he didn't even have a car. And he went out and he witnessed to my grandfather. You know when he witnessed to him? 5 o'clock in the morning when my grandfather's milking cows. Now, this is a long time ago, and I don't pretend to know anything about milking cows. I was raised in the city and thankful for that for the rest of my natural days. But anyway, you understand where we're coming from. The technology is a little bit different back in the day. It was called labor, manual labor. And when he went into that, when that preacher boy went into the barn, there was nowhere for that man to go. And he needed the help. And over a period of a couple of weeks, he witnessed to my grandfather. My grandfather received Christ in that barn. All because of one preacher boy that took the gospel to people. Now, friends, let's make no mistake. My grandfather lived about 7 miles outside of town at that time. To get out there at 5 o'clock in the morning without a car, that's a challenge, my friends. And all throughout that area, my dad would tell me the story. there would be a man over there that preacher boy led to the Lord. The same way, he'd go out there and meet him in the barn, and he would work with them and talk with them, and eventually led many of them to Christ. I believe in an aggressive ministry. I believe in taking the gospel to everyone that we have a chance to reach. I believe, and listen, when you go out to serve the Lord, don't listen to the naysayers. You say, I have the gospel. I believe the gospel's for everyone. And you can change the direction of someone's family just by taking the gospel to them. We were out knocking on doors for Vacation Bible School. It's about 10 years ago. I don't remember this specific incident, but it's what we do all the time. There was kids out playing in the lawn, and I invited them to Vacation Bible School, and they said, I'd like to go. I said, well, where's your mom or dad? And I went up to this door, and the mom said, we're not interested. There was a little 7-year-old girl there, and she really wanted to come to Vacation Bible School. And when she went inside, the mother said, you will never set foot inside Liberty Baptist Church. The girl forgot about it till she got to be 16. She got a job in a restaurant in Fremont, right next to a girl from my church. They became friends, started hanging out a little bit, and finally she said, would you like to come to our church on a Sunday morning? Her mom still remembered that story from almost 10 years before that. Her mom said, I don't want you to go, but eventually she allowed her to come a couple times. She came occasionally on Sunday morning. She had a different kind of work schedule and had some family situations that were a little difficult. Anyway, after coming to our church about 3, 4, 5 months, on a Sunday morning, she walked down the aisle and received Christ as Savior. You know something? Sometimes God gets the last laugh, doesn't he? And that girl, she told me that story. I didn't know that story till after she got baptized. Her mom wouldn't let her get baptized till she turned 18. The Sunday after she turned 18, she came down the aisle again. She says, now I can get baptized. And she said, my mom said, you'll never set foot inside Liberty Baptist Church. It's amazing. She doesn't know what she's saying, but she'll a lot of times say to me, she says, now I'm a Baptist for the rest of my life. She doesn't understand all the consequences that you understand, but I like the heart. You know that? And I tell you what it is. Sometimes we say, well, there's no results. But let me just say this. You're looking too short term. And I also believe there's results we never even know about. Let's not listen to the naysayers. Let's not listen to the people that say it can't be done. Just keep serving the Lord. Keep taking the gospel to people. When we have revival meetings, twice a year. We take our school kids out. We put flyers in stores. And there's a restaurant in town that I frequent on a regular basis. I know you're going to find that hard to believe, but it's called Steak Buffet. You can eat as much steak as you want. I mean, it's like heaven for a Baptist preacher. You know what I mean? Not totally heaven, but you understand like heaven. It's not the... Okay, you understand that. All right. You got the picture. All right. I know you're young. You won't be that way. But anyway. And went in there, and we put the flyer up in this restaurant all the time. It's my favorite restaurant. I take preachers there all the time. I take myself there on a regular basis, too. But you're not supposed to laugh at that. No, anyway. But and the worker at the desk. And I joke with her because one time she asked if I took the senior discount. And I said, I don't look like Dr. Spencer. I'm not in the senior discount. And I said, well, that's a joke. Anyway, and I said, what is the cutoff for the senior discount? And she said, 60. And I said, really? I look like I'm 60? I was offended the whole meal, you know. But anyway, this lady at the counter, she said to me, out of the blue, just a couple weeks ago, she said, do you still have church? Or do you just have it during the revival meeting? Do you have it at night during the week? I said, we have church every Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. She said, I wanted to come to those revival meetings. I've seen that flyer there for years, and I wanted to come, and I just can't get off work. She came. She's been there 2 Wednesday nights. And you know, sometimes we say, it's not working. Can I tell you something? It is working. We just got to keep trusting. We just got to keep serving the Lord. We got to keep being busy. Before we leave this point, and I don't know where this fits in the outline, but you young preacher boys can figure it out later, but let me just say this. To be an aggressive, there's first of all a doctrine part to it. I know you've been taught that Calvinism is wrong. I understand that. But let me just say this. When you leave this place and you go out there to serve the Lord, there's going to be incredible pressure on you to start to accept that teaching. And let me just say this, whatever we do for the Lord has to have a doctrinal basis. And the doctrine is simply this, anyone can get saved. Don't ever forget that. I grew up in a Christian home. I went to church every time the doors were open, but don't think for a second that's the only people that can get saved. Anybody can get saved. Billy Sunday got saved, didn't he? After a ball game, walking down the street of Chicago, and he walked into the Pacific Garden Mission and got saved. Amen. Mel Trotter, on his way to commit suicide in Lake Michigan, he got saved, didn't he? Amen. Let's never forget, there's a doctrinal basis for it. Anyone can get saved. But there's also a decision that goes with it. And you have to take that doctrine that anyone can get saved, that there's not just a certain number that gets saved, only a certain select few. Anyone can get saved, but there's a decision. You have to say, Lord, help me to reach people. Help me to be an instrument to take the gospel to people. Let's look at a verse. I know you know it well, but turn back with me to Matthew chapter 4 just for a second before we leave this point. Matthew chapter 4, we'll start in verse 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, here's the command to us, follow me. That's a command, isn't it? It's imperative, right? Either disobey or you obey. It's only two choices you have. But notice what it says, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Well, that's quite a challenge, isn't it? So there's a decision you have to make. Is it easy work? No, it's not easy work. Everybody you witness to get saved? No, of course not everybody you witness to get saved. But you know what? As old Lester Olof said, enough get saved to keep me going. And we have to keep on trusting the Lord. Keep on serving the Lord. Keep on working at it. There's a doctrine and there's a decision that goes along with being aggressive. And you know what? Sometimes talking about soul winning and trying to reach people and trying to have a ministry, it's just amazing the things God does. I mean, you don't understand it all the time. Like what old Vance Havner said. He said, things in the Bible I don't understand. He said, but I don't understand electricity either, but I'm not going to sit in the dark till I figure it out. And I don't pretend to understand everything about soul winning, and I'm not going to sit around and do nothing till I figure it all out. Tell you what I am going to do. I'm going to be aggressive. And Jesus went. And Jesus went. And our churches should be a testimony of that. And our preachers should be a testimony of that. And as young people, ask the Lord to help you to be that way and become that way. Here's the second lesson. Not only did Jesus went, the Bible says in verse 35, but also in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 36. Not only was Jesus aggressive, but he was also attentive. It says, but when he saw the multitudes, Jesus went and Jesus saw. He was attentive. He saw people. He saw them in their need and in their circumstances, and he cared about them. Sometimes, the longer we're saved, the less we actually see people, who they really are. Every once in a while, you ever had this experience like you go to buy a new car, not a new car, you know, but a new used car, you understand that, and you think on the dealer's lot, you think, no one has a car like this. Then when you drive home, you see five just identical to it, you know. Were they there before? Sure they were, but you just never really noticed them. And you know what the thing about seeing things are, folks? We see things that we're really interested in. We notice things that are attractions to us. I'm not a hunter or fisher. I don't pretend to be, but I've got a men in my church that just driving down the road, they see all kinds of things. I don't see them. I'm not interested in that. And sometimes as Christians and in his churches, we don't really see the things that Jesus wants us to see. Somebody might come into church and we see how they're dressed. I don't think Jesus is concerned about that. We think about their income level or their educational level. We have all different kinds of divisions for people. Jesus didn't have those divisions. It says he saw the multitudes. He cared about them. And as we go forth to minister, as you have education, you have this foundation, tremendous foundation, never lose sight of it, that it's all for this purpose to see people. To see them as people that need to be reached. heard a story of a little boy in London many, many years ago. Or who heard about Moody coming to preach. And he traveled across London. And he got there and Moody was going to preach at this church, kind of set up on a hill a little bit. Beautiful stained glass windows. And the little boy thought, wow, that must be what heaven is like. And he went to go in the front door and the usher said, young boy, he said, where are you going? He said, well, I came to hear Moody preach. He says, you're not allowed in. We don't let dirty little boys like you in. Little boy thought, well, that's all right. He said, I'll find a door open or a window open or something. And he went all the way around the building. There was no way in. And he went and sat on the front steps there. Just kind of discouraged. He couldn't hear Moody preach. This is a long time ago. You know, Moody passed away in 1899. Moody pulled up in a horse and carriage, got out, top hat and tail, started going in. Saw this little boy, and he said, young boy, what's wrong? He said, I came to hear this guy Moody preach. He said, but they won't let me in. Moody said, you come with me. He said, you're just the ones we want to have here. And he took the little boy's hand, walked him all the way down, sat down the front. He says, you sit right there, and when we're done, he says, you go right out with me. And that little boy heard Dale Moody preach that day. Hey, you know what? We need the heart of that spirit. Because those little boys, those little bus kids, they grow up to serve the Lord. They can grow up to live for the Lord. And what I want to teach us this morning from the life of the Lord Jesus is to be attentive. I'll have to confess that I am not always as attentive as I should be to people. Sometimes we can get busy, can't we? We can get caught up in our own schedule, in our own life. And sometimes even in a church, even in a good church, you can get caught up in your own schedule and you don't even stop to take time for people and you don't see them. Sometimes I have people at church trying to tell me something. They're trying to get a message through to me. They're trying to communicate something to me, and I'm so busy or concerned about this service or that message that I don't ever stop. But Jesus saw people. What a testimony. There's a third lesson from the life of Jesus. He was aggressive. He was attentive. But thirdly, he was affected. Notice, if you notice carefully in your Bible, verse 36, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them. Now, we don't want to have an English lesson this morning because I'm not that thrilled on English. I'm sure you aren't either. But if you notice carefully and quickly, verse 35, Jesus went, is active. Verse 36, he saw, is active. Verse 37, saith he said, is active. But the point we're on right now, he was moved with compassion, is passive. Jesus is not acting. He's being acted upon. Jesus is not seeing. He's not going. He's noticing, and it's affecting him. He was moved with compassion. Now listen, I understand that in the ministry there's going to be some battles. I totally understand that. There's going to be some struggles. But let's never lose a compassionate heart. I think sometimes there's a tendency, the longer we're saved, the less compassion that we have. We've been so far removed from sin and its terrible effects that we forget that God wants us to still have a compassionate heart. When it's good in a church to have newborns physically, newborns spiritually as well, because a little bit maybe they can jolt us back into having a compassionate heart. But here we see that Jesus, it's automatic in the verse, when he saw them, he was moved with compassion on them. Let me just say something, young men and young ladies, circumstances and situations are going to come in that are going to try to drive compassion out of your heart. You're going to be hurt by people. People are going to disappoint you. You're going to have someone make a decision, and then they're not going to follow through on it. You're going to have people that you thought for sure were going to be rock solid that are going to disappoint you. Don't allow that to take away your compassion. Don't allow that to drive away the thing that we all need to have to keep us serving the Lord. He was moved with compassion. That's what we need to have. We were out inviting kids to vacation Bible school, and I met this little kid. I was driving in the van. I had a bunch of teenagers, and I was dropping them off, and I leaned out of the window of the van and I said, hey buddy, you want to go to vacation Bible school? And the kid said, I don't know, what is that? And I said, well, we sing some stories, learn some Bible verses, my favorite part, cookies and Kool-Aid. He said, I would like to go to that. I said, well, where do you live? Let's go talk to your mom. Took me a while to turn the van around. He took off running home. And when I got up to the door, I heard the mother said, no, you're not going. All different kinds of reasons. And I realized that the mother was not going to let him go. She never came to the door, wouldn't talk to me. And so while I was standing there waiting for the boy to try to talk to his mother, I noticed another home over there. So I thought I was going to go over there. And the little boy came to the door and he said, my mom just won't let me go. And I said, you know what? I said, I understand. That's all right. And I started to walk away and he said, hey, mister, do you think I could go next year? I said, yeah, I think you could. You know, the problem is by next year, he moved away. I can take you to that house in Fremont. I don't know where he's at. I've told that story in my church and I said, let's pray that I can find him. That's 3 years ago. I can't find him. I don't know where he is. But I've never forgotten the little boy. You know something? There's a lot of little boys out there like that. We sit here, we discuss the great doctrines. I'm all for it. I love doing it. But let me just tell you, where the rubber meets the road, there's a little boy that wants to come to church. A little boy that wants to hear about Jesus, that never heard any of the great songs that we know. And we need to have a compassionate heart. And we need to be still affected no matter how long we're in the ministry. No matter how long we've served, we still need to have a heart for people and to care for them. Notice with me, fourthly, we come to the assessment of Jesus. Jesus was aggressive in verse 35. He was attentive in 36. He was affected in 36. And now he has the assessment in verse 37. I don't know about you, but an assessment is kind of a scary thing. But when Jesus is making the assessment, it's time to sit up and take notice, isn't it? Verse 37, then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. This is Jesus' assessment of the situation. Notice, first of all, he's speaking to the disciples. He's speaking to us. Disciples, a follower of Christ, and we purport to be a follower of Christ, so he's speaking to us. But notice the description he gives in verse 37. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. You know something? We live in a day and age where what people say runs counter to what Jesus just said in Matthew chapter 9. You will be told it can't be done today. You will be told it's impossible to do today. You will be told we are in the last stages of apostasy. Nothing can happen. As nothing can be farther from the truth. We're definitely in difficult days. We don't have to go over that. Let me just say this. It doesn't help us all the time to keep going over it. Why not say what Jesus said? The harvest truly is plenteous. The harvest is plenty. Who's right? These people, these naysayers, or what the Lord Jesus Christ said? Sometimes our terminology is wrong. There's a terminology out there. We never use it in our church. It's called unchurched. That's not a biblical term. The idea is, and it's given by people that are giving you the idea, this is not the correct idea, that if you're in a church, then you're all right. No. What are they teaching in that church? We don't use the term unchurched. We use the term unsaved is what we use. We can't ever have a ministry if we don't get down to the basics. You know that? But Jesus said, the harvest truly is plenteous. There's a church in a little town in Nebraska. The pastor was an older fella, and I called him up one time. He was 83 years old, pastoring this church. And I said to him, what are you doing? He said, well, I'm not dead yet, and they still want me, so I'm going to keep going. So he'd call me up whenever he had to be out of town or, you know, had a vacation or sometimes he had surgeries, and we'd send somebody over to preach there. And he called me up one time, and he said, listen, he said, things are going to change here. I wonder if you could help look over this church. I say, well, what's going on? And this 83-year-old guy said to me, he said, I think I'm having a heart attack. I said, well, don't talk to me. Call the doctor. This is ridiculous. He said, I want to get this church taken care of first. So we sent some guys out there, and eventually, as the story went, we weren't able to have services all the time. We took our teens out there in the summer and did a vacation Bible school and a revival meeting, just trying to keep things going a little bit. Anyway, a pastor came about 5 years ago. Now, listen to this. When that pastor came, there were four people in the church. Everybody they'd asked for advice in that church, except me, said, shut the place down. And when they called me, I said, listen, if you're interested in shut it down, call somebody else, because I'm not interested in that at all. They said, well, we've had a bad testimony. You know what I think of that? I think it's a bunch of baloney. It's a waste of time to worry about what happened in the past. Truth of it is, the average town knows nothing to what's going on in the average Baptist church. Don't worry about what they're thinking about you. They even know you're there. So this guy came in with those four people. You know what he believed? He believed if you went to people, you could reach them. Now, I don't know how many were there last Sunday, but I'll tell you, approximately 60 or 70 people were there last Sunday. This is a small town in Nebraska. This is where people said it couldn't be done. This is where people said, just close the place down. Now, I had basically nothing to do with it, but I tell you what, you get somebody in a place who believes it can be done, it's amazing what can happen. The harvest truly is plenteous. Don't listen to the naysayers. Don't listen to those who say it can't be done. Don't listen to say it's difficult. It's been difficult in every generation. It's never been easy. It's not going to get to be easy. I don't know what's in the future. Neither does anybody else. I don't know what's going to happen in America. Persecute. I don't have any idea. Neither does anybody else. But I do know what Jesus said. The harvest is plenteous. The harvest is plenteous. Up where I grew up and up where I live in farm country, they got an interesting thing. For example, if one farmer, maybe the dad in this home, would be sick or maybe in the hospital or maybe he passed away. If you're from farm country, you know what'll happen. When harvest time comes, the neighbors will have a special day. Be like a Saturday. And they'll all bring all their machinery. And they'll just take out, you know, nowadays a guy farms 1,000 acres or something like that. They'll just come in and one day they'll just harvest the whole crop. You know, I think it's a wonderful picture of what can happen. You know that? Here's a farm family not going to be able to get the harvest in. And other people say, hey, we can help. We can do something. And in just one day, they'll take what should have taken like a month. But they'll come in there. Sometimes I think about people like that, and I understand it doesn't work exactly that easily, but you know what I like? I like somebody who believes the harvest truly is plenteous. I believe the harvest is still out there. But you see, the description is that the laborers are few. The laborers are few. And you're one laborer. God has called you into the ministry. You're one laborer, but never forget, your job is to go out and to raise up other laborers. In a church, you need to have laborers. And you need to be a laborer, someone who works hard, someone who's diligent about the things of God, but you also need to raise up others. Teach them how to serve the Lord. Do you see, thirdly, there's a duty in verse 38. He says, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. There's a duty for us. And then there's the delight that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Obviously, that's talking about those who go into full-time service. But any church doing anything needs more laborers. We need to raise up laborers. What a great example the ministry of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ is. We live in strange days. Now, here's the thing I've noticed, Passion, Nebraska. Somebody that man I just mentioned comes into a town, starts knocking on doors, reaching people. Things are good. I've seen guys come in, get into a spot, a hard spot. Watch out, their doctrine starts to change. You know that? At one time, they believed just like us that anybody could get saved. Then after a while, they start to believe only a certain select few can get saved. And then I've actually had guys send me letters saying they were leaving because God was done with this city. God wasn't done with that city. You were done with the city. There's a difference. And I've seen God have to bring somebody else in, and sometimes those cities still sit without any church there. But I find the testimony in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ instructive for us because he teaches us his philosophy of ministry. In verse 35, he went. In verse 36, he saw. In verse 36, he was moved with compassion. And then he spoke to us. And he calls us to the great harvest fields of the world. Not to listen to other people, but to listen to the call of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a call comes ringing o'er the restless wave. Send the light. Send the light. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the word today. Lord, help us to be faithful to thy word. Lord, what a great time it is to serve you. Difficult days around us, strange things happening, we understand all that. But Lord, the Word of God hasn't changed. And so, Lord, we pray you'd help these young people to know what you have for them to do. And as you send them out, may they be found faithful and fervent in serving you, Lord. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name.